Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, on this dream, and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race, your DJ King Baby Duck here. It was quite an eventful time at the Boston Festival of Indie Games this year. In fact, I think the Indie Game Showcase was probably quadruple the size it was last year. Of course, last year was held in a smaller part of MIT, and it crowded very fast. So I was very happy to see the university choose a larger venue to hold it. Unfortunately, like last year, I was unable to check out the Tabletop Gaming Showcase. Of course, I'm not a big tabletop gamer myself, but I was still quite interested in checking out that area. Maybe next year, I suppose. What intrigued me, however, was that there were a couple of big names that were at Boston Fig, such as Epic Games and Microsoft. This is leading me to wonder if the festival will soon find its way to grabbing other well-known developers to show off their titles at the event, perhaps in a similar way that PAX does it, where indie games and AAA titles are put side by side. Of course, you don't want too many big titles, or else the indie ones will be drowned out, and that takes away all the purpose of what Boston Fig is all about. There were so many games, too, that I only had a chance to go hands-on with a small fraction of them. You know, it wouldn't be that big of a problem if it was a multiple-day event, but because it was only held on one single day, it makes you feel like you need to rush to see as much as you possibly can, and then proceed to report on it. Hopefully Boston Fig will decide to branch the event to more than a single gathering, as it would give people more of a chance to take a breather and not feel overloaded by so much in so little time. So, Boston Festival of Indie Games, I look forward to attending again next year, and I hope that you'll spread the event out more nicely. Just one thing, don't put it the same weekend as Nauticon again. I heard I missed quite a lot this year at the event, so enough chit-chat. Let's start the show. Remember, if you'd like to purchase any of these artists' stuff, you can find their music on Amazon.com, cdjapan.co.jp, their official sites, Bandcamp, and even your local record store. And we're going to start things off with High and Mighty Color, who some of you might remember for their songs from the anime Bleach, and also Darker Than Black. Sadly, they disbanded back in 2010, with their second lead vocalist then starting a new band called Sin. And I don't have anything of Sin's yet, so I'm still looking for that. But from their final album, Swamp Man, this is 7.2.
ようこそ戻りたい戻れない枯れそうな心 Thank you.
Deer Hoof with Wrong Time Capsule from the album The Runners Four. Their most recent album, Breakup Song, was released last year to much fanfare and was also brought to life as a flexibook, which plays each song on a record player on each page. If you were wondering where you can grab that one, well, I'm so sorry to say that all 500 copies of them are sold out. You should have jumped on it when it was announced, man. It's the only way you're going to be able to grab these special editions. So the day after Boston Fag, I went to what is known as Freedom Fest at the Boston Common. Some of you may know this event by its previous name, Hemp Fest. It's where people and performers come together and promote the legalization of hemp and weed and do it in a peaceful and artistic way. Now, I don't smoke pot as I feel it would affect me differently due to the autism and shit, but I have many friends who do. Recently, I've actually found my comfort zone regarding people smoking it around me, as I no longer feel paranoid when they decide to start lighting it up. I used to have this sort of notion that as soon as that joint is lit, hundreds of cops would just pour in and start arresting everyone they saw. Of course, it was an extreme exaggeration, but the fact that weed is still illegal if not bought for medicinal purposes still makes me a wee bit antsy. I'm a big supporter of the legalization of marijuana because we've seen it be a helpful herb for those with cancer and other diseases, as well as less of a health hazard than smoking cigarettes and drinking booze. In fact, the reason why it was outlawed in the first place is because of some dishonesty in both the government and the media, especially by one William Randolph Hearst. You would think that they wouldn't listen to a man who started the Spanish Civil War just to sell newspapers, but I guess they were more gullible back in the day. With Colorado and Washington legalization of possession and usage of marijuana, it's only time when it spreads throughout the rest of the country. Of course, as one who wants to be a good role model to all, I need to remind our listeners to smoke responsibly. Even if it's not a harmful herb, it can still hinder your senses when high. As for those who work for the DEA, I suggest ridding the entire force regarding marijuana and putting them someplace else that'd be useful. You know, like that Molly bullshit that's been appearing in clubs. Seriously. That needs to stop dead in its tracks before it becomes an epidemic. I mean, when you hear dubstep and electronica performers speaking out against the drug, then you know it's a fucking problem. Sorry if I went a little bit onto the soapbox for that one. I usually don't get political unless it's relevant to something that recently happened. And with Freedom Fest, I figured I can do a little piece about it, and I hope you enjoyed that. Up next, we've got a band from Brooklyn that describes their sound as, quote, electro grunge, unicorn riding, badassness from a world of whiskey waterfalls. Sounds like such a magical place. They call themselves Clinical Trials, and some of you may recognize its frontwoman, Summer Bingham, from her work that she did with our friends Hunter Valentine on their album Collide and Conquer. Here's a cool little track from Clinical Trials' 2011 EP, Believe Me. This is called Whipping.
Thank you. 素様はとってもスレンダね、生き様と死に様って結局同じなんでしょ。僕にはあなたの言ってることが一つも分かりません。
Kyoso Sama wa Slender by Mosum Tonebender from their 2010 album Struggle, one of the many bands I've been introduced through the Japan Night Tour that happens every March via the South by Southwest Festival. It should be close to time for them to start announcing at least a couple of the bands who will be in Austin for that popular festival, so cross your fingers that someone very big and popular from the Land of the Rising Sun will be coming to our shores. This past week, I finally got to see the new Riddick movie, and I gotta say, I was quite surprised by it. For one thing, there is a lot that was left out of the trailers that deals with a good chunk of the story. In fact, upon further research, the majority of everything you see in those trailers happened in the third act of the film. So, for those of you who are not familiar with the series, Riddick is technically the sixth part in the Chronicles of Riddick series. That is, if you count the animated film Dark Fury and the two video games Escape from Butcher Bay and Assault on Dark Athena. In Riddick, the title character finds himself on some planet after he abdicates the throne and returns to finding his home world. He then gets screwed over, kills those who betrayed him, and is now stuck on this desolate area. After he heals himself and befriends this cool-looking zebra wolf thing, he finds an abandoned merc station and sends out an SOS of sorts to call down a ship or two so he can steal it from them. Of course, the mercenaries want Riddick's head, as the reward for it is quite high. That means Riddick must use his skills of sorts to get what he needs for his escape. When he gets captured, well, this is the part where I say, watch the trailer and you'll see what happens next without having to spoil really anything. Now, Riddick does start out a wee bit slow, but when the pace ups itself, the movie flows pretty well. I'm not saying it's a great movie, but after the last film, it's a nice improvement. The graphics are nicely done, although I did notice a couple of hiccups when it came to the hoverbike effect. Its script is okay, and Vin Diesel is just being Vin Diesel here, but, you know, that's not a bad thing. I do like his characters. The supporting cast is alright. No one here is quite memorable. In fact, as sexist as this sounds, the only reason why I'll remember the character of Doll is because of her topless scene. Other than that, she wasn't as strong of a female protagonist as ones we've seen in the past. But, you know, I was entertained for the most part, so I'll give the movie credit for that. Probably won't buy it on DVD, but if it showed up on TV, I wouldn't switch the channel. I can give the film Riddick a 3.25 out of 5. It's a lot better than the second film, a wee bit better than Pitch Black, but still not as great as the video games. Now, they have announced a third Riddick video game entitled Riddick, the Merc Files for iOS devices, which is bringing back the developers of the original series, and I'm betting that it takes place after the events of this film. I'm hoping the game is good, though, because it usually is like a hit or miss when it comes to movie-based iOS titles. Well, mostly miss, to be frank. But the Riddick video games have been known to be better than the movie counterparts, so cross our fingers that it'll be the exact same situation when it comes to Riddick the Merc Files. One of my favorite punk rock bands from Osaka has to be the Goju Kaitans, who are currently on tour in Japan. Check out 50kaiten.com for all the dates and see if they'll be in an area near your vacation spot. I know some of you are like wondering, why do you keep mentioning checking out these tour dates even though it only happens in Japan? Well, I figured at least one of you out there is planning a trip to Japan. So I figured, check out one of these bands that I'm playing on the show. Maybe they might fancy you pretty well. But anyway, from their rock and roll Sekai Roko EP, here's Hawaii Wa Iwa.
Hawaii, 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 Hawaii.
a great collaboration from both Waves and Fucked Up. You can find that on Waves' Life Sucks EP. Fucked Up are currently in the studio working on their fourth album, and Waves just released their recent CD, Afraid of Heights, which is one of my favorite records so far this year. A couple weeks ago, Sony announced that the PlayStation Vita would see both a price cut and a slimmed-down variation of the handheld. This was something that I knew would happen soon, as Japan had already cut the price down a few months ago. While I think it's great that it's going down, the PlayStation Vita still hasn't quite won me over, as it doesn't have as many great titles as the 3DS. However, I know there are some titles on the Vita that I am very interested in trying. That's why I was very excited to hear about the PlayStation Vita TV, a standalone system that lets you play a large quantity of the games for half the price on your television. The fact that it's a lot less than the handheld itself, while giving you roughly the same experience on the big screen, is something that I can really back. While it takes away the aspect of playing it on the go, the system itself will be small enough that you can take it to a friend's house wherever you'd like. There is currently a downside right now, as there are only plans to bring Vita TV to Japan only, with no sign of a Western release set for the near future. Hopefully that news will change soon, after the release of the PlayStation 4, which is coming up here in November and not until 2014 in Japan. My guess is that Vita TV is coming out in Japan first, mainly to abide the people who are waiting on the PS4, and I feel that it would be a nice trade-off. When the PS4 comes out here, Japan gets Vita TV. And when Japan finally gets the PS4, the ideal thing is that the Vita TV would then be released around these shores. Of course, you know, there is the possibility that the Vita TV never leaves Japan, kind of like what happened to the Nintendo 64 DD. If that is the case, then thank God that PlayStation Vita games are region-free, which means that anyone can import the system and play the games that are released in their area. So if it turns out that the Vita TV doesn't officially come to America and Europe, there is at least that option to import. Of course, then you'll have to deal with some of those high import prices, which is why I still hope for a Western release. Now, I know that news was a bit old, but I wasn't able to comment on it when it was a bit fresher, so my apologies, ladies and gents. Some of you might remember Olivia for the work she did for the Nana anime. She has been on a musical hiatus since 2011, but recently announced on her Facebook page that she will be making a comeback very soon. From her mini-album, The Cloudy Dreamer, this is Cut Me Free.
Getting my attention.
Abingdon Boys School with the B-side Lost Reason from the Nephilim single. As many people know, the band is threatened by TM Revolution, who recently played at Otakon this year for the convention's 20th anniversary. You know, wish I could have been there for that, but going to all these cons can be so expensive at times. It was announced last week that Sega had purchased Atlas for 14 billion yen, which is roughly $140 million. And the reaction from the gamers and media have been a mixture of both good and bad. Some have been praising the move as it could lead towards some really cool crossover titles and perhaps a wider audience being reached for such titles as the Shin Megami Tensei series and the upcoming Etrian Odyssey, which if you haven't downloaded the demo yet in the Nintendo eShop, I strongly suggest you do. Others are worried that Sega will see that Atlas's library hasn't been as strong outside of Japan and will stop porting them to the US and Europe. But here's my idea. What if Sega lets Atlas still be its own independent entity? This way, Sega can have its identity, Atlas can keep theirs, and the only change Sega will see is its wallet getting bigger. Shin Megami Tensei, Persona, Catherine, and many of Atlas's titles have their own fan bases. And while they're not as strong as many of the other gaming franchises out there, they still have their devoted gamers that will support every single title that's released in these series. And I doubt Sega will want to do anything to fuck that up. So, why don't we just wait and see what happens before we all either panic or celebrate? This could be great, you know, or this could suck. But we won't know until we are given the proper info. Now, for now, let's just tread cautiously and hope things at Atlas will be fine in the end, and cross our fingers that Sega can give that company the love it truly deserves. And now for some local flavor in the form of the Dropkick Murphys. This is from their latest album, Signed and Sealed in Blood. Here's My Hero. We'll be right back.
monster living in my brain. The moment it sits still like hibernation. Look, the monster has grown bigger. But now, I got to fight with him.
Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra with All About My Monster from their album Perfect Future. They just released a new album, Diamond in Your Heart, which they'll be touring in support of in November and December. If you're visiting Japan during that time and want to check them out, go to tokyoska.net and check out the full tour date listings. So on November 1st, We Fit You will be released early in the Nintendo eShop, and I have to give the Big N credit where credit is due. What they are planning to do from November 1st to January 31st is make We Fit You available as a download for free, and this trial would last for about 1 month once you download it. After January 31st, the price will go to its physical release, which is $50. I think it'd be like $80 to $90 if you have to buy the Wii Balance Board if you do the physical release. Now, here's the kicker. Anytime during that 1 month trial, if you purchase the Fit Meter Pedometer for $25 and you sync that Fit Meter with the software, that software is now yours. Don't have to worry about it being a trial or anything like that. If you already own the Wii Bounce Board like I do, this is an awesome bargain. You get all the original exercises plus the new ones in full HD and the pedometer basically for half the price of the game itself, which comes out in December, I think, in physical form. You know, not everything that Nintendo announced this past week was cool, though. While it's great that all the original Wii Sports games will be released in HD with Motion Plus support, dubbed Wii Sports Club, I think it's a bit of a ripoff that you have to pay $50 to keep all five sports. Yes, you know, it's cool that you can now play people online, but for $50 I can get Kinect Sports 2, which has at least double the amount of sports that play on it. Maybe it's to make up for the possible loss that they'll be foreseeing if a lot of people jump onto the Wii Fit U deal. Now, still, it's a little bit of a bum deal. What do you think, listeners? Is this Wii Fit U thing a good deal? Would you pay $50 for Wii Sports Club? Let me know via our email at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com or send us a comment on the official Boston Bash Brigade website and Facebook pages for both B3 and the Land of Ash. Now, and if you got some good comments, I'll read them off in next week's episode. A great all-girl rock band that last year called it quits. Here's Lazy Guns Brisky with a song from their 26 times EP. This is Chicken Mouse.
I live my rockin' nurse, yeah.
The title track from their 2011 release that was Washed Out with the song Within and Without. They are currently touring the States right now, so check out their official website and Facebook for all their upcoming stops. That about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, or if you're in a band and want to be promoted on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. And you can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And don't forget to check out all the other shows under The Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and The Issues Program. So we're going to end today's show with one of my favorite anime theme songs, the one that was featured in Year 2 of Sergeant Frog. From their Musei Kinin Ika Sodoin release, this is Gagaga SP with Kobe Musei Kinin Jidai. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go play Grand Theft Auto 5 until my fucking thumbs fall off. Sayonara, motherfuckers!
Sayonara!
なんでもかんでもやりましょう。パート一丁やりましょう。何でもかんでもやりましょう。パート一丁やりましょう。そして全てが相対性理論的な人類学論であるわけです。